Last time we were focused on Resh Pei Tesef Beis, which was the bulk of the issues of where exactly to put the mezuzah. And as we saw, it draws from different gemaras in the course of Daf Lam and Gimel. And that sif spans all three dimensions. The Shulchan Aruch and the Sif Beis opened with how deep the mezuzah needs to be, could be, should be, the issues of the ideal of Tefach HaSamach L'Chutz, and then the question of Chalal HaPesach, the requirement or the ideal of having it Toh Chalal HaPesach, as well as the problem of Chori HaDelas. Then the Shulchan Aruch moved second to speak about the dimension of height. And we said that we follow the Rambam, number one, that we avoid the lower two Shlishim, and that we avoid the top Tefach, and we, Shulchan Aruch seems to promote the Rambam over the Rosh, that even within the Shlish Elyon, the ideal is for it to be as low as possible. Within the Shlish Elyon, the Shlish Elyon. The Rosh would have it, but it doesn't matter whether it's higher or lower. Rambam says it should be Dafka B'Tchilas Shlish Elyon. We said Nekudas HaKesef got involved in that, and then the Beka Yosef, of course, and the Rizal about that. So ideally, one should definitely, none has nothing to lose and everything to gain. From following the Rambam, the Mechaber, the Arizal. That's what Sof Shlish Elyon means. When the Arizal says Sof Shlish Elyon, Big Yosef quotes him. He means
Dafka,
the top. Counting
from the top.
It's the
measurement
from the top. He's got to look in the Arizal on the top. I assume that meant the same as Rambam. Maybe that was a poor assumption. It could be. It is funny that it's striking that the language is social shalim as opposed to social shalim. We spoke about the Knegged Ksef Yosef, right, the Yerushalmi, which Tosas presented as a machlokas bab the Yerushalmi, whether you require Shlisha Elyon or when the door is very high, could you instead just put it at shoulder height? And the Mordechai seemed to assume it's not. He's open to assume that's what the Shach is calling, it's not a machlokas. So it sounds like, unless he's possibly Rishon against the Bavli, but presumably means we follow the Bavli, there's a din of Shlisha Elyon, but at the same time, it's a very, very tall door. So then we would want instead that it should be visible. Perhaps because visibility trumps the Gova Hashar. If you assume that that's a smachta, not a real smuchin, the drasha ukshavtam, the requirement of Gova. So maybe in a Hanami we're gonna give up Shlisha Elyon in order to have it at least somewhat visible height. Or perhaps the Yerushalmi understands that Gova is not always defined as the top third. So it's a very, very tall door. So even if it's not such a tall doorway, even a shoulder height is already considered to be Gova. Okay. And then finally, the third dimension, which Shach began to talk about in Sif Beis, is the requirement for Yamin. It has to be Yamin HaKnisa. It has to be on the right side going in. And that is the, of all these dinim, that's the one that's clearest that it's li'ikuva. It must be bimin. If it's going to be b'smal, it's going to be the Gemara's clear. Kavah b'smal, you're not yotze. So you really need to figure this out. And we left off last time recognizing that the stakes are high in terms of the need to clarify, to identify what's the right. It's also, in a sense, the most confusing, most difficult of all of these dinim to pin down. We can talk about how high the doorway is. That's relatively simple. But to figure out what's right and left, so we know which is right, which is left, as Ramaz quotes, that it doesn't have to do with my dominant hand, it has to do with that universal right and left. But the question is, what's Knesa? Is how you orient, is the right side going in? The question is, what's your orientation? So if you have a one-room schoolhouse, it's pretty clear that going in means from the outside, the Avri Labais. But what happens once you have multi-room buildings? So let's take a look. So the post can develop a series of, a hierarchy of rules to figure this out. I'd love to see how this emerges from the Gemara. They actually have some fascinating Machlokes among the Rishonim, if you start from the Gemara and unpack it that way, the way halacha is supposed to be unpacked. So let's take a look. Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. We've all seen that Gemara. The Gemara says one of the rules is Gemara called Shmuel, or Yudah called Shmuel, that you follow Hekertzir. But I mean, one of the rules, one of the relevant criteria in a Purim Mezuzah is to look at the hinges. The Gemara wants to know. The Gemara's question is interesting. The Gemara doesn't ask, what are you doing with the hinges? The Gemara wants to know what's the case. Ketzad, or in Aramaic, Hechidami. The Gemara says, Ben Begar for the Beinashi. Ben Trey Bate, Ben Begar for the Beinashi. Between two rooms, or two houses, between two rooms within a house, between the room where the men are, the room where the women are, so that's a situation where you're going to use. When you're going to use Hekertzir. And then the Gemara tells the story of Nachman, who's a Talmud of Shmuel. Reish Galusa brings him into, Reish Galusa built a new house. So it sounds like. And he asked Rav Nachman, he asked the chief rabbi to come put up the mezuzahs. So Rav Nachman shows up, there are no doors. He says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You got to have the doors up before we can talk about putting up mezuzahs. So why is that? So there are three different approaches in Rishonim to what's driving Rav Nachman's insistence that we need the doors up first. So some say it has to do with the Tastav Lomin Ha'asoi. As Rashi says, it means that the doorposts weren't even up yet. So you can't put the mezuzah on the doorpost when it's still lying in the workshop. You have to first have the doorpost installed, then we can put up the mezuzah. The Rambam is of the opinion that it's a Tastav Lomin Ha'asoi because the doors weren't up. The Rambam is of the opinion that's going to come with some Reish Peivav, that you're not chayev and mezuzah unless there are doors. If there's a doorway without doors, no chayev mezuzah. So let's say if you live in the dining room, Rambam would say, for several reasons, this is one of them, there's no chayev mezuzah, I don't know, for several reasons, but at least for one reason, no chayev mezuzah because there's no doors. We don't necessarily pass him like the Rambam, maybe we follow him l'chumra not l'kula, we wouldn't make a bracha on a doorway, on a door without doors. And finally, Tosis says maybe Rav Nachman is talking about the Gemara we just learned, the preceding piece of Gemara. There was some situation, Nachman comes to look at the house, and he says, it's not clear where all the mezuzahs go, so you need to put in the door, so that way we'll see which way the door swings, we'll see where the Hekertzir is, and that will tell me which way, not a problem Tosis, because the doorposts aren't up. Not a problem Tosis, because the doors aren't up, but I could put the mezuzahs, I'm just not sure where to put them. In which case, that's the first recorded scenario of a left-right shiloh. When you're clearing left-right shiloh, you say, we need more data. That's what Nachman says. We need more data. I have to see once you install the doors, and we'll see which way the door is swinging. Again, just before we get into any halachic detail, just understand the tzias, which side the, just to explain what the Hekertzir means, is this type of door is a little bit of a different setup, but typically you have the hinges along the side, the long attaching, direct attached to the side post to the door. So if you think about it, whichever side of the door the hinges are on, that's the way that the door swings. Right, the door swings towards the room. You have a door between a hallway and a bedroom, let's say, to the hallway and a classroom. So whichever way, let's say if you're looking from on top, if I have a door that swings like that, right, I'd say this is the hall, this is the bedroom. So if the door swings toward the bedroom, that means that the hinge is over here. If the hinge is over here, it swings the other way. It always swings into the room that contains, the door swings into the room that contains the hinges. That's where it always goes. That's what Hekertzir means. It's not a question of whether the hinges are on the right side or on the left side. That's irrelevant. That's not what we don't mean by Hekertzir that you should put the mezuzah on the doorpost that has the hinges attached. So just to be clear, I have a door that swings like that, also swinging into the bedroom, but here the hinge happens to be on the left side. Either way, the mezuzah goes over there. Not a question of which left or right where the Hekertzir is, it's a question of which room. In which room are the hinges located? That tells me into which room the door swings. And halacha hekertzir means if you want to figure out what's your orientation, which way is going in, to have the right side going in the way the door swings, going into the room that the door swings into. That's the rule of Hekher Tzir.
Going the way the door swings into or swings open?
No, it swings, let's say, here, this door. The door to this classroom swings out into the hallway. So according to Hekher Tzir, the door swings into the whole room. So if we were following Hekher Tzir, we don't necessarily follow Hekher Tzir, as you see. If we were to follow Hekher Tzir, we put the mezuzah on this doorpost, that's the right side going in to the hallway. Hekher Tzir tells me which way is in and which way is out. That's the dominant view in Rishonim. The dominant view in Rishonim is that this Gemara is concerned with the question of right and left. Which way is in, which way is out? I have a door between two rooms, so should I see it primarily as a door going into room A or a door going into room B? The Gemara says, follow Hekher Tzir. You saw it in the Beis Yosef. Rabbein Yerucham has a whole other take on this Gemara. It's not a question of right and left. It's like you have two doorways right next to each other with a long door that goes across. You're trying to figure out. So that is not quoted, as far as I can tell, that Rabbein Yerucham is not quoted again in the Halacha after being quoted in the... The Berak HaBayis is a part of the Beis Yosef. That's not the same as the Berak HaBayis was written by the Ra'ah, which is the Ra'ah's Hasadis and the Rajma's Taras HaBayis. That was in the 1300s. In the 1500s, I'm not sure exactly of the history, but the Berak HaBayis, which is printed in different font, that is from the Beis Yosef. Maybe it's the later footnotes that he added to himself, but as far as I can tell, it is Beis Yosef. It's another chunk, another segment of the Beis Yosef. So as you saw, he also quotes the Zvein Yeruchim. As far as I can tell, it's not quoted later. We'll get to Ishmael. We will talk about those issues. What do you do when you have doorways next to each other? But for now, certainly here in Shulchan Aruch, the focus is on the assumption that that's what we're talking about. The question of figuring out what's right, what's left, which orientation do I adopt? Now, okay. Now you take a look at Rashi. So take a look at Rashi, take a look at the Mordechai. That's sort of the track that you get on when you look and learn Beis Yosef. What I want to do first is I'll just read to you, I'm sorry I don't have it in front of you, but I'll read to you a Rambam. Read to you a Rambam. Rambam quotes this, if you follow the Mesoras Hashas on the Gemara and Lamed Gimel, Rambam quotes this in Perek Vav Halacha Yud Aleph. If you have Safari, you can pull it up. Perek Vav Halacha Yud Aleph. Pesach Shebein Shnei Batim. You have a doorway between two rooms. Holchim Achar Hatzir Shel Delas. You follow the hinge of the door. Makom Shatzir Nira Imo. The side where the hinge is visible. Shom Kovim Samazuzim. Okay, sounds pretty straightforward. Now, it sounds pretty straightforward. And you take a look in the Rashi explains, you take a look in Rashi, so Rashi explains that Bein Begavra, Bein Ashi, the Gemara had mentioned. So what's the significance of Begavra, Bein Ashi? It's between the men's room and the women's room. So Rashi gives the whole explanation. You have the front half, you have a one-room house, then you divide it. You have a one-room house. But then you divide it into a front half and a back half. So this is the Bei Gavri. This is the Bei Nashi. Rashi stresses that there's a way into the Bei Gavri from the outside, and there's a back door to the house, a way into the Bei Nashi from the outside. And then there's also a door between the front and the back half of the house. You read about, you know, think about your class, the picture in your mind you have of the first floor tenement apartment, or maybe it's a little house in the shtetl, where the family lives in the back, and the front is where the fellow has his fish store, the setup that my great-grandparents had, or the front is where he has where the tailor sees his customers, right? Work in the front, family in the back, that's Bei Gavri, Bei Nashi, it's more or less the way Rashi describes it, the public half of the house, the private half of the house, and there's a doorway in between the two. So that's the case that the Gemara says, you follow Hekher Tzir. That's Rashi. And that's what the Tur quotes. The Tur stresses you have base of Lashnaim. Each side has a separate Pesach Rishus HaRavim. So then that's when you're going to follow Ekertir. So what does that teach me? What does that teach me? So if I stop right here, I have Rashi, the Rosh, the Tur. You stop right here. So you say, okay, so how many rules did I just develop for figuring out which is right, which is left? So the Chorus, so far, I developed three. There is a rule of Hakatz here. I'll see that tomorrow. But what do you see from the fact that the Gemara gave a Hechidami? So what do you see about what the Gemara said? What's the case? A Hechidami means when did the deploy? I mean, Duff in this sort of situation. So there are rules that come ahead of it. Yeah. So number one, may have the bias. Right? Or from Rishus Rambam to bias. That's clear. We're only talking about an internal door. That's one thing that you see. And number two, the way. Oh, well, we'll get to it. So the way Rashi presents it, certainly another rule is Kol HaKnisa. In other words, if you have a dead-end room, so it's always going to be going in to the dead-end room. Because Rashi stressed that each side has its own.
Aren't those one and the same, though? The idea is that assuming only one is going out and the other is going in. And what in the basketball case, are they just coming to say, what idea of people face up?
Well, so let's say this door right over here. And so here we have a door, this is a dead-end room, but the Hakatzir points out. So we assume.
So that's
what we're saying. You have a hierarchy of rules, and Rashi stressed that part of the scenario that the Gemara is describing, they just said, Begavri Benashim, like we're supposed to understand. So if you live then, you got it. But Rashi's filling in the details we need to know if we don't have homes that have rooms called Begavri. I don't have a men's room and a women's room in my house. You don't mean a lavatory. Here that meant like the living room. Or the workroom and the family room. So what did that look like? So Rashi's feeling, oh, what that means, you're supposed to understand, there's a way in from either side, and then there's a door in between.
Well, isn't that kind of move on to my left? Because the whole idea of mezuzah is right to the kisa. So you would never have questioned what was a kisa.
You would think. So that's what you see from Rashi, from the Tur, certainly. Now then you look at the Mordechai. So the Mordechai tells us that there's another Nakuda.
That's
the time. Yeah, right. So the Mordechai stresses, well, why not for Begavri Benashi? And as opposed to anything else. But say two rooms. So it could be, you could just say, okay, that was just an example, a common example of two rooms, each of which open to the outside, and also have a door in between. But the Mordechai says, if you read the Gemara and Rashi slowly and carefully, we're focusing also on the fact that if you look at the way the Gemara describes it, Dafka Begavri Benashi, it sounds like not only is by the Begavri Benashi is neither room a dead end room. Not only is it obviously not an external door, and it's not a room into a dead end room. Both of them have separate entrances, but also both rooms are heavily used. So there's no Ikar Tashmish. The Mordechai says Ikar Shimush, Ikar Tashmish. The Mordechai seems to indicate that there are four rules. Number one, this from the outside inside, not real bias. Number two, presumably, is Kol HaKnisa. You have a dead-end room, the only way in. So you're in HaKnisa, the only way into the room, only way in to this door is going in. Because the only way to get into this room is from there. So that's, by definition, HaKnisa. Number three, the Mordechai seems to indicate, would be Ikar Tashmish. If one room is used much more heavily than the other, so you're going to talk about going, even if both of them are accessible, we talk about going into, primarily go into the more used room. So let's say I have a dining room and a kitchen, and the dining room is only used on Shabbos. All week long, family eats supper in the eating kitchen, and whoever's eating breakfast is eating in the eating kitchen. Shabbos, we use the dining room. So the Mordechai would say, if you have a door to the dining room and the kitchen, you can get into the dining room and the kitchen. Either one gets into either room from the living room. It's our classic look. So here you come into the living room, and you can go from the living room into the dining room, or you can go from the living room into the kitchen, that's it. And then the kitchen and the dining room also connect each other. So this doorway between the kitchen and the dining room, which way do you go? So the Mordechai would say, if the dining room is only used on Shabbos, the kitchen is used all week long, everyone's in and out of the kitchen for hours every day. The dining room is used a couple hours a week. So you say, look, are you going to look at this primarily as a door going into the kitchen or a door going into the dining room? The Mordechai seems to indicate going into the kitchen. That's the main door between these two rooms. This is the main room. If they're both used heavily, we use the dining room every day, use the kitchen every day, the family doesn't fit around the table in the eating kitchen, there is no eating kitchen, the dining room table gets used for homework, both of them are pretty busy rooms, so then already, then we're down, it sounds like, to Heckert's here. Then I have to see if there's a door, which way does the door swing? Right? So now the tour, if you look at the tour, the tour didn't say anything. The tour took out the Bei Gavri Bei Nashi. The tour just says you have Cholek Beis Lishnayim, and each one has a door. Each side has a door to the Rishos Harav. So the tour is giving you the non Mordechai version. As the tour sounds like he has three rules: 1, 2, 3. Avra Labayis Kolak Nisa, that the dead end room, and then Hekritz here. The Mordechai sounds like he has 1, 2, 3, and 4. But he's adding this Iker Shemesh. Where Rashi stands is a good question. The truth is, there is a Rashi later. There's a Rashi later. The end of Lama Gimel with Beis. The Gemara talks about Ketonius. So Gar starts talking about these cases of this type of building next to this type of room, then next to that type of room. So the Rashi at the very, very bottom of Lama Gimel with Beis, if you happen to have a Gemara with you, he said, it sounds like he's saying what the Mordechai said. He said, we said it on an olive. You follow Hekut Seer, that's when Pesach Bein Trevati, Travayu Iker. They're both important. Bottom Rashi, Lama Gimel Beis, and Menachos. But Hacha Iker Ketonios, so Lishma Nasa. And Mara said, the other story, Mara says, the Rashi says that what the Gemara is discussing is which is the Iker room. So the truth is, the Mordechai here, and it sounds like Rashi and Lama Gimel Beis, do believe in this idea of Iker of Tashmish. I should note also, before we move to Shulchan Aruch, there's another version, probably, in Rishonim. Which is the Rambam. Before, earlier, as soon as we read the Gemara, we read the Rambam. So you look at the Rambam, now that we're sensitized to the different ways of looking at the Gemara, if you look back at the Rambam, again, that was Perek Vav. What's that? Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Aleph, in Hilchos Mezuzah. Pesach Shebein Shnei Batim. A door between two rooms. Holchim Achar Hatzir Shal Delas. The extent of his description of the case is Pesach Shevein Shnei Batim. Period. It sounds like the Mordechai stresses that the case of the Gemara is specifically their entrances from both sides, the external entrances from both sides, and they're both heavily used. The tour didn't talk about the heavily used, but he at least did stress, as Rashi said, that the entrances from both sides. Rambam didn't even say anything about entrances of both sides. He just said, Pesach Shebein Shnei Batim. So it's hard to know for sure. Rambam is being a little terse here. But it could be, possibly, that Rambam held on to rules. Avraham Levi's, on the outside in, that's rule number one. But if it's the Pesach Shebein Shnei Batim, maybe Rambam might only hold up Hekritzir. That's the very next rule. Hard to know for sure, because maybe bias means a room that opens the outside and a dead-end room would be called a cheder. So it's hard to know for sure whether Rambam holds this version or this version. I will tell you, though, that what I think the Rambam might be saying is the Lubavitcher practice. In Chabad, they have, if I remember correctly, it's not what the Baal HaTanya writes. We look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he does not write the following. But the Lubavitcher, the more recent Lubavitcher's farm, say they have a Mesorah from the Rebbe Rashab. He has some Nusach from the Rebbe Rashab Olamala Bakodesh. I'm not sure how far back it goes. But it does not seem to go back all the way to the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. That Hecker Tzir, any internal door, you follow Hecker Tzir. Now, the Hecker Tzir is rule number two. The front door, everyone agrees that the door to the outside, you're not going to say, a door to the front door of the house, the back door of the house, side door of the house, no one's going to say you follow Hecker Tzir. The door swings out. Everyone's going to, right? You're not going to have no why, because there's no Chiyah Mezuzah on the outside. It's a Chiyah Mezuzah of the pass up to the bias. So between Avril and bias, everyone agrees that's rule number one. That comes up, it doesn't come up in this part of the United States, but it does come up in South Florida, let's say. Because their building code requires that the front door of your house swing out because of the concern of tropical storms. You want a tropical storm to push your door in and together with hundreds of gallons of water come flooding into your house. So, it's in South Florida, the doors open out. So, there's no way to push the door in. It's up against the frame. Everyone agrees, even Lubavitchers agree, that the front door of the house, even if the door swings out, you don't follow Hecker Tzir. So, my Avraham Levi says, no Shaila, because it has to be Pesach HaKnisa to the Machnas Chayav Mezuzah. But once you get to internal doors, so Lubavitchers follow, again, it may or may not be the position of the Rambam as well, that any internal door, you always follow Hecker Tzir. So Arulog, I think, tells a story that he was giving Shiurim Hilchos Mezuzah at Stern in a room much like this one. And he was explaining the dinim. They said, you follow this, you follow that, you have a kol haknisa, so it's a dead-end room, so obviously you have mezuzah going in, like over there. And he points to the doorway. But unlike this room, where the mezuzah is on the right coming into the room, the mezuzah was on the right going out of the room. They're like looking at it for a moment, trying to figure out what just happened. So like, took like the exhibit A, right? It's what the Gemara calls a Raya Lista. And then he realized that the mezuzahs, and I'm not sure which buildings in Stern, had been put up by one of the longtime Rebbeim in Stern, right? Alter Metzger, who was the Lubavitcher, an old school Lubavitcher. So he followed the Minhag Chabad. So in Minhag Chabad, all these, we mentioned the other day, in public rooms, the code requires that the door opens out. So all the mezuzahs and these sorts of doors are on the right side going into the hallway, not on the right side going into the classroom. Even though the classroom is a cheder, it's a kol haknisa, is always into the classroom. But since it's Hecker Tzir, so the Lubavitchers hold any internal door, you follow Hecker Tzir. And again, I said it could be that's the position of the Rambam. It's hard to know whether, unless the word bias means a room with the door to the outside, that's what the Rambam says as well. Rambam does not get quoted the halacha. I did not see him quote anywhere. And even the Beis Yosef doesn't quote him. Not even Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote. The Beis Yosef is busy quoting all the Ashkenazim. The Mordechai and the Maharil doesn't say anything about the Rambam, which is interesting. Once you get to the page in Shulchan Aruch, so the Mechaber quotes the language of the Tur. Again, this middle approach mentions that there can't be, that they're not dead-end rooms, but doesn't say anything specifically about Be'gavri Be'nashi, how the rooms are used. And if you look at it, I'm sure you saw, that seems to be also the position of the Maharil, and the Taz. The Taz quotes the Maharil at some length there. They seem to assume that that's That's it. While the Shach quotes Levush, and as we saw in the Beis Hillel, it's written in Mordechai, and Beis Hillel doesn't quote, the heart's already Rashi, along with the Beis, they also have the rule of Iker Tashmish. Again, Iker Tashmish means, so Shechter has stressed to me a number of times, Iker Tashmish means it has to be an extreme difference. You use one room 3 hours a day, use another room 2 hours a day. You might use the dining room. The dining room is used every night. You're in the kitchen for more hours. That does not an Iker Tashmish make. Iker Tashmish has to be an extreme, a very stark difference, either in terms of frequency or in terms of the quality of the use. Because either, like we said before, you have to use the dining room once a week, you use the kitchen every day, or it could also be, a chef to point out to me, another type of Iker Tashmish is when the nature of the function of the rooms is radically different. When one room services the other. For instance, he said to me, in the other building, outside the official base medrash, the hallway going into the annex rooms. You say, a hallway going into annex rooms, who needs a kartashmish? The hallway going to the annex rooms isn't a kol haknisa. It's not, because those rooms have two doors from the hallway to the room. So neither door is kol haknisa. You don't have to go. You can get into the room. Let's say you're in the hallway looking at room 103. Right? So there's a left doorway, the right doorway. So you can go in this way, you can go that way. So neither door is called Haknisa. But you do have the mezuzah going in on both doors, the mezuzah on the right side going into the classroom, going into the annex, because of Iker Tashmish. What do you mean Iker Tashmish? You're not in the annex more frequently than you're in the hallway. Every time you're in the annex, you walk through the hallway to get there. But so it's not that that's not a quantitative Iker Tashmish, that's a qualitative Iker Tashmish. You're in both rooms frequently, but the shimush of the annex is for itself. The shimush of to learn, to give a shiur, whatever. The shimush of the hallway just to get you to the annex. And that's what I was saying before. Two types of Iker Tashmish, either an extreme difference in terms of frequency of use, or an extreme difference in terms of the quality of user. One is fundamentally tafel to the other.
How do you balance those two? Frequency versus one which serves the other?
I don't think you're going to have situations where you have them at cross purposes. Either one could define something as a attachment.
I think if you have a case where one room is, for example, let's say a classroom that's hardly used, so you're in the hallway more, but the hallway is just there to get you to the classroom.
I have a classroom that's only used for one class a week. Right. We're in the hallway, you say we're in the hallway all week long to get, why we're in the hallway all week long? I mean to get to other classrooms.
The other classroom, yes, the hallway's being used more than this classroom, but the hallway's there to get you to the classrooms.
So if it's a normal classroom that has one door, so it's all irrelevant because you have kol haknisa. If not, interesting.
Sure. Well, you would assume that frequency would just be a different way of defining shimush. In the sense that you use frequency to say, oh, it's more frequently, that usually means that it's more important. You would think that I use something more frequently because it has more value to me. And therefore, that's why I say frequency.
Well, that's right.
Maybe. I'm saying it's much easier to say that than to say something, that frequency itself.
Now, what? A couple more points, but one major point, which is incredibly relevant to halacha, because we started right with maybe two conditions, two factors in the hierarchy, and then three, and then four. We do lamasa poskim accept the shach, the Mordechai, the Levush, Rashi, the Iker Tashmish is irrelevant. Factor again, other than Chabad Poskim. Then Achronim add there really is a fifth rule also, and that's again the four rules were Avri Labayis from Parshat Chayev, and then Kol Haknisa, Iker Tashmish, and Heker Tzir. Then Achronim say, well, there's another rule also, which is Rov Haknisa. Kol Haknisa is again you have a dead end room. There's only one way in, and that's from the outside room to the inside room, maybe bias the cheder. You could also have situations where, in principle, all the rooms open to each other, but lamasa, not as, kol haknisa means, let's say this doorway from the hall to the room, My first approach, after I walk into the building, my first approach to this doorway is always going to be from the hallway to the room. Right? Unless you, you know, scale the walls outside and climb through the window. Right? You're obviously, the next time you go through the door, it's going to be the other direction. So we're looking at, and it's going to even out, what we're looking at is your initial approach. Your initial piece of through that doorway is always from the hallway to the classroom, and that's called kolach nisa. Okay, how about if you have a situation like this where it's not kolach nisa, there are multiple ways in and out, but rov haknisa. What's the majority of traffic is going to be going this way? So let's say this situation, right? I can walk in, I can walk straight through the living room into the kitchen, and then afterwards I may end up in the dining room. Or if I want to, I could go into the dining room first and then go into the kitchen. Right, so I'm looking at this. Let's use the other color to make it a little clearer. I'm looking at this doorway, so I can say, look, there are two ways to get in. I could, my initial approach to that doorway could be into the kitchen first and then to the dining room, or I could enter the dining room first and then to the kitchen. So I could ask myself, which of those is a more frequent first approach to the door?
Is that really a topic question?
Well, it's actually, it's a kinesa question. It's a hilach, it's a traffic question. Well, I think you're right that if I'm trying to calculate this, it's going to be driven by where people end up. And not only that, but here's the wrinkle. Let's say, think about this case. So if we said that the dining room is rarely used, right, think about a house where like all week long the lights in the dining room are off, the dining room only comes alive on Shabbos. So all week long, I'm going to walk through the dining room into the kitchen?
No.
Maybe if it happens to be a particularly sort of straight way to go, but most likely I'm going to head straight to the kitchen first. That's where all the action is. And then afterwards, I may end up going through the dining room. It could be 9 times out of 10, all week long, I don't go through the doorway at all to the dining room or the kitchen. But when I do, if the kitchen is a more used room, it's likely that I'll end up in the kitchen first and dining room second. In which case, Rov HaKnisa points from kitchen to dining room, this way. Wat Ikar Tashmish points the other way, going into the main room. Not always, but often, Rov HaKnisa will be from the more used room to the less used room, because you go into the more used room first, and then end up afterwards occasionally making your way into the less used room.
Turning Tashmish and inverting it.
Well, yeah, right. Which is why a really important question is, where does Rov HaKnisa go? Is Rov HaKnisa number 3 and Ikar Tashmish is number 4? Or is Ikar Tashmish number 3 and Rov HaKnisa is number 4? That's a really important question. The Chovos Hadar gives you some of the citations on this. Beginning of Perek Ches, it tells you things of the Machlokas Mechutanim.
Why is that?
Between the Minchas Yitzchak and Rabbi Yaakov Breish. Dr. Breish was a dying in Europe. Minchas Yitzchak was dying in Tzagweis in Eidah Haridus. Shechter told me there was a... They were mechatanim. Apparently each one went to visit the kids at different times and made them switch them. Unaware of what the other mechutan had said, they once showed up and said, oh, you got to move them to the other side. And the other set of, you know, other set of parents showed up a couple weeks later, a couple months later, and said, oh, you got to moved it back to the first side. So that Machlokas is playing itself out. Machlokas is playing itself out. I think most poskim assume...
Why wouldn't that be obvious, though? You just said that Rov HaKnisa comes by calculating passage.
It won't always follow. It may also just have to do with how the rooms are sort of situated, and what's the easier way to walk, and where the lights are. There could be other factors. It's not always going to be the opposite of the Kirtashmish. It's going to happen with some frequency, it's the opposite of the Kirtashmish, which is why it's really important to know, does Rov HaKnisa go here, or Rov HaKnisa go here? Is Rov HaKnisa more pointed to Kirtashmish, or is the Kirtashmish more pointed to Rov HaKnisa? Again, let's recap before we talk about Paskin, and one final point as well. Halacha Lamaisa, it's assumed that there are 5 rules, a hierarchy of 5 rules that we follow. And then ironically, again, unless you're a Lubavitcher, ironically, the one that the Gemara mentions is at the bottom of the barrel. That number 5 out of the 5 is Hekrutir. Everyone agrees that the rule number 1 is Me'avra Labayis, And then rule number two is kol haknisas, again, from the outside in, and then going into a dead-end room. And then rules three and four are ikar tashmish and rov haknisa, but machlok is which. We'll talk about that, we'll drop more in a moment. And finally, when all else fails, we follow Hecker Tzir. In other words, while the Lubavitchers and maybe the Rambam understood that's the one rule the Gemara mentioned. It's pretty serious. So Taka is a little ironic that the rest of us assume the Hecker Tzir is the one rule the Gemara mentioned explicitly is the bottom of the barrel. The Svara probably is. But what does it really matter? Hecker Tzir. Which way the door swings? Why is that important? What's the nature of the din? Again, it's a din daraisa, yimin haknisa. We dash again from beischa al tikri, biascha. It has to be on the right side as you enter. They're trying to figure out what's considered bia el habais, what's considered entry. So it seems like the svara behind the predominant approach among Rishonim, the hekatsus at the bottom of the barrel, is that we're really looking for knisa. Right? So obviously, Marvel bias is knisa el habais, so it's only one way is knisa el habais. And even within the house, so kol haknisa is also, that's the knisa, we're looking for knisa. And we're looking for sort of the fundamental, substantive things. Which way is more is going in? So maybe going into the, if one room is more important than the other ones, you'll talk about this is primarily a door into the more important room, or let's follow the flow of traffic. The Hecker Tzir is really, it barely matters. It barely moves the needle. So when everything else is the same, when traffic flow is really the same, and there's no significant difference in Shemush, it really, it's basically Shavah B'Shavah. So then, the fact that the door swings one way is a slight indication. I'm not sure if it's a Simon or a Siba. It may be a Siba. It's the fact that this is the way the door moves makes this door slightly more door into room A than to room B. But the other factors are much more mamushas. Those are the substantive. How the traffic flows. Or, as Mordechai pointed out, look, the Gemara says, Begav Benashi. So that's what the Gemara thought. Those are more fundamental, intrinsically meaningful factors. Now, and that also brings us to the question of where Rov HaKnisa goes. I think the majority of American posts can assume that Rov HaKnisa is number three and Ikar Tashmish is number four, which means that in that scenario we spoke about with the dining room and the kitchen, where the dining room is barely used and the kitchen is used several hours a day, if you feel that Rov HaKnisa is number three and Ikar Tashmish is rule number four, Rov HaKnisa dominates, and therefore you say, look, you're more likely to go into the kitchen first and from there to the dining room than vice versa. So you would have the mezuzahs on the right side going into the dining room. And I knew we were telling me he thought the svar b'davar is, Knisa is the primary, that's really what we're looking at, right? He meant that the din is, he meant not Knisa. So that's why Kola Knisa is number one. And Rova Knisa is just a takeoff of Kola Knisa. Whereas Ikar Tashmish, that's already sort of like a one step removed. We're trying to figure out which should we call the main room. But traffic flow is what it's actually about. Now, Reshechter assumes, not like that, Reshechter assumes that Ikar Tashmish is number three, and Rov HaKnisa is number four. We show him talk about Ikar Tashmish. We show him, as far as we can tell, do not directly talk about Rov HaKnisa. That's Hamtzos Achronim. So I believe that's why, or part of why, he assumes Ikar Tashmish is number three, Rov HaKnisa is number four, which would reverse the orientation in the dining room kitchen case. So now, if Rav Shechter pointed out to me that regardless of which approach you take, it's important to also realize this is a live, dynamic issue, and it can change over time. So let's say the dining room kitchen. He told me they in their apartment, 24 Bennett, they moved, after a number of years, they moved the mezuzah. He switched the mezuzah on the dining room kitchen doorway because when everyone was young, the family was small, they all fit in the kitchen for supper. Dining room was a rarely used room. So he was following Ikar Tashmish. So Ikar Tashmish pointed from the kitchen into the dining room, from the dining room into the kitchen. And then as the family grew and outgrew the kitchen table, so both dining room and kitchen are being used every day, in which case rule number three falls away. So now we look at Rov HaKnisa. So that turned things from pointing into the kitchen to pointing into the dining room. So that's something to be aware of. When I go to look at homes, when people are preparing to move in, so that sometimes it's hard to know which way, it's hard sometimes to predict which way Rova Knisa will fall out. Then you have to sort of like break into the house, hopefully not break the house, but break into the house and sort of get a sense like what the actual, try. You can guess, but it's hard to sometimes guess. So where the mudroom is, where the kids be coming from the left, right, from this side, that side, side door, front door. So sometimes the eitzah is to put up the mezuzah with tape initially. And certain mezuzahs, you know, you'll put up with tape. It's not a time to show the second floor.
Might you guys stay with tape in that case?
Sorry?
If you're not, if you haven't determined your time with Oro Bakhnisa, then would you put it on the side of paper and stay with tape then? That's the one definite you have.
Yeah, the problem is that often these doors don't have any hackers here.
I was assuming
no, so you try to guess. Whichever one you're following.
Would you go with that if it had one?
If there's no Rov HaKnisa or Ikar Tashi, you go with that. But if we try to predict whatever it is that you're following, as Rav said, posting you're following, you can try to predict which way rule number three, or if not, then rule number four, which way it's going to point. Sometimes you're pretty sure. Sometimes you can make an educated guess. Sometimes you'll have, occasionally have no idea. And then after a couple of months, you reassess, and then you either guess right or guess wrong, and you put it up with nail.
Would you make a new bracha?
No, for two reasons. Number one, if you're not moving it, if you're just reattaching it in a more permanent fashion, and maybe with a nicer case, because it could be a little dangerous to put up a heavy case with scotch tape, right? It's going to they always sew from give you the cloth saran wrapped. So you probably just want to like wrap it in aluminum foil or something, and just, you know, put up the tape. So if you guessed right, and you're going to, after a couple months, take it down and put it in the beautiful case and nail it back up. That we spoke about in Sifalov, for that sort of a brief wait, a brief pause doesn't require a bracha. If you're turning to the other side, then l'char, you would require a bracha, except that l'masa, we don't make a bracha on most first floor doorways because of the rabbi we spoke about before. There's no door, so we are machmer like Grover, you're showing him that there's a chiv mezuzah even without a door, we're also but we treat the Rambam as like a suffix brachas. In other words, we wouldn't want to make a bracha just on, I believe, just on a doorless doorway. So I believe we would move it, but we would put it up without a bracha. One last point, to sort of round this out, and that's the question that the Chovas Hadar raises. Chovas Hadar is a fantastic presentation of this whole topic. He's the one who really organizes it as a sort of a hierarchy of factors. Then it was, hey, he says, how about when all else fails? When all else fails, you use Hecker Tzir. How about there's no Hecker Tzir either? The rooms are basically more or less, there's no clear Rohilov, there's no Hecker Tashmish, and there's no Hecker Tzir. How's the Shaykh no Hecker Tzir? It's either there are no doors, or the doors swing both ways, or it's a sliding door, or it's a bead door with beads hanging. Yeah. I wondered in the past whether that's considered a door or not. Like with the Rambam hold that you're chayav mezuzah. If those strings are deep, it's very 70s. Aloha. So that's interesting because he quotes, there are three approaches in poskim. See, he quotes two. He says either, there are three logical positions. See, he quotes either it's either or both. Says, you got to choose. And Yeshorim, you have to put on both sides. Which sounds like the Shailid, and he quotes recent Achron who take both sides, and then he also has earlier sources. In the footnotes, he points out the Rishalmi sounds like you get to choose, and he has a Mordechai, I think. He's a Diak and a Mordechai that you need to put on both.
It's based on Pasuk and Shmos.
Mezuzos. Maybe. But it sounds like it's a question of what's the nature of the, and then Rav Moshe Feinstein, Chovzadar is not called Rav Moshe. Some say that that's the greatest chisari in the Sefer Chovzadar, is he never quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva where I believe he says you're pate. Or it sounds like it's a maker of din. He says you're mamash pate. It sounds like it's a chakira, I'll leave you with this, what's the nature of the din of yamin? In other words, is it that small is puzzle, or it's small is putter, or that only yamin is chayv? If you say that small is puzzle, so that's the first approach. that if you have a right and a left, so then the left one is no good. So you put on the right. But if neither one is left, neither one is right, neither one is left. They're all sort of the same. So the Pesach requires a mezuzah. So you put it wherever you want. Neither door is possible. The second way of looking at it, we just say sort of like the smallest putter, meaning the doorpost needs a mezuzah. Narvas, why don't we always put up mezuzahs on both doorposts? Because you're only chayev on because the left-handed doorpost is putter. Ah, so if neither one is left, they're both chayev. I said that the two days that he's quoting is it that the door is chayev mezuzah? So if it's all open, choose which one you want, or the doorposts are chayev mezuzah. And neither one is small, so they're both chayev. Then the third approach, which is Moshe puts forward, that they're both putter, that sounds like it's not that small is a problem, it's that yamin is mechayev. So if neither one is small, also neither one is yamin. They're just doorposts. There's no clear right. So if it's not the part that's small is out, but that you need yamin or to be chayev, yamin is mechayev, there is no yamin, so then you would be putter, and this wraps up the key issues in the world of left and right. I'm glad to take more questions.